Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't God always faithful? Wouldn't it be great if we were? This morning we're going to do a little trip through the Bible. I have several different passages that I want to tie together. So, and I know Joe's already thinking, well, he doesn't even have a Bible. He has an iPad. But we have been studying the book of Hebrews in Sunday morning, our 9 o'clock class that we get together. And when we started studying this book, you know, it's like, I know I had not spent a lot of time in Hebrews because it's written to the Hebrews, right? And I'd never done a Bible study on it. And I knew, but, you know, it just kind of was like one of those things that sometimes you just don't pay that much attention. But as we've been studying Hebrews, I have found out that, boy, is there a lot of stuff in there that applies to us. And if you really dig in God's Word, you find things that you say, man, what on earth does this even have any application for us? And boy, just start digging and you find out. So this morning we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 7 through 11. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Now, I'm reading the New American Standard Version, so it might be slightly different if you're using the NIV in that, but I happen to like the New American Standard Version the best, and I was going to read it from the Amplified, but I wanted to get us done in time to eat. And since I'm doing a lot of scripture this morning, I figured better stick to what I like. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, a little bit of background here before we really start digging in is, as the author of Hebrews is unknown, he's writing to the Hebrew Christians, okay? And the first few chapters, he starts talking, he wants the Hebrews to understand, these Hebrew Christians, that they're now following Christ. And so what was happening, and we see in some of this aspect, is that they had this tendency to fall back on tradition, Jewish tradition. And so the author is spending time showing them the scripture based on their knowledge. Okay, so a lot of the stuff that we see in Hebrews is referring back to Old Testament scripture. If you turn to Psalm 95... You don't have to, but if you want to, if you're interested, if you turn to Psalm 95 and look at verse 7 to 11, this is almost an identical repeat of Psalm 95. Okay? And the author of Psalm 95 is unknown. And I like what it says here in verse 7 is, the Holy Spirit says. Okay? The Holy Spirit says. I think Psalm 95 and Hebrews are unknown because they want people to realize that it's the Holy Spirit directly talking to us. It's not Paul, it's not James, it's not John. We don't know who it was. Some think it could have been a woman that wrote Hebrews. And so there's many different aspects there. But Psalm 95 is also author unknown. But if you look at it, 7 through 11... which is what we just read here, 7 through 11. Now, do you think that's coincidence? That in Psalm 95, verse 7 through 11, it happened to be this author's verse 7 through 11 also? I don't. I think God was showing us it was a direct tie-in to Psalm 95. So then I started looking at it and I said, well, what does Psalm 95 talking about? And, you know, why did they harden their hearts? What were they doing? What was happening? And so when I studied Psalm 95 and went back, it takes me to Exodus chapter 17. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 17. See, I told you we were going to have a study through the Bible. But this is where the whole meat of the thing is. What we see here in Exodus 17, and my Bible has a little title above right where you start. It says, Water in the Rock. Water in the Rock. How many remember the story of the water in the rock? Huh? What happened? Moses struck the rock, okay? So we look here and it says, all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin. According to the command of the Lord, they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and says, give us water that we may drink. Now, I want you to understand some things before I continue reading and going into it. Is they had got out of Egypt. They had already started murmuring and complaining because they didn't know what they were going to eat. So what did God give them? Manna. The Bible describes manna as what? Being good, right? Sweet. I told Georgia, manna is our communion bread. She said, no, that's sugar cookie. But you think about it. God gave them manna. Told them, here you go. Didn't take very long. What did they start complaining? Well, we're getting tired of manna. We want something else. So what did God do? Gave them quail. How many quail? Too much. They were overrun with quail. And they continued on and saw. So now we're shortly after that period. So we haven't been far out of Egypt, okay? We're getting out of Egypt. And there's some things. Now, pay very close attention to some things I tell you here, because this is what really ties Scripture in. And you say, wow, I never looked at that and saw that before. Okay? So this was very early in their escape from Egypt. And they're in this desert, the wilderness of Sin. And they're camped there. They're arguing with Moses. And Moses says, why do you argue with me? Why are you testing God? But the people were thirsty and they grumbled against Moses and said, look, you brought us out of Egypt to kill us, to kill our children, to kill our cattle, to kill everything. And Moses, what happens? He gets kind of frustrated and goes, God, and he said, what am I going to do, God? Now, this is my paraphrase version. So if you're reading along, you probably won't see it exactly in those words. But he says, what shall I do to this people? A little more, a little longer, God, and they're going to do what? They're going to stone me. They're going to stone me. And so here is Moses, and the people are mad. The people are upset. They're grumbling. They're really, you know, like they're ready to kill Moses. And Moses goes to God, and God says, look, Moses. He says, I got a plan. So he tells Moses, he said, take some of the elders and go forth and go up to the rock that I stand beside. And he says, and when you go to that rock, take the staff that you used to hold up over the Red Sea, take that staff and strike the rock, and water will come forth. So Moses got some elders. They walk up to the rock. I was going to have a big rock here and have this little guy hit the rock for me. But they struck the rock. And the water started flowing. And they had good, pure, clean water to drink. Now we know as through the times of them escaping Egypt, and that there were some troubling things. But here was a time when they totally just didn't trust God. And so they got the water, And Moses named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord and said, the Lord is not among us. So we see that Psalm 95 is being referred to in Hebrews, which takes us back to Exodus. And I thought, okay, but that's not the end of the story. Do you know God's a baseball fan? That's right. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, you know, there was a beginning. They scored a lot. But see, he also records the very first strikeout in history. Turn to Numbers, chapter 20. See, you guys didn't know, you're getting a history lesson too. Numbers chapter 20. Okay. Numbers chapter 20, starting with verse 2. There was no water for the congregation. They assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. They contended with Moses and said, you should have let us perish when our brothers perished before God. Remember all the things that happened between there and here, you know, that a lot of people perished because of their worshiping the idol and stuff like that. And he said, these that are left are complaining again. You brought us out of Egypt to this wretched place. There's no water to drink. There's not a place for grains or figs and stuff. There's nothing. And they got upset again. And God says to Moses, take the rod, and you and the brethren assemble, and the congregation speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. Okay. Now, here's what you've got to pay attention to. Okay, listen. Because there's a couple of analogies in here that we miss. First off, this took place. Numbers 20 took place right outside of the promised land. Okay? Moses had already sent the people from each tribe over to check out the promised land. He had already sent them. They had returned. Out of 12, only two of them said that it was a land worth taking. The other 10 come back and said, oh man, there's giants, there's all, everything. You won't believe it. The people believed them. If you read your scripture, the 12 guys that went over, 10 of them come back that were murmuring and complaining and causing grumbling. Guess what? They died of a plague. Only the two remained that came back and said, one was Joshua. But only two. And they come back and said, yeah, this is a beautiful land and we can do it. They didn't look at the giants. They looked at what God had gave them. But here we are. And it says, if you look on down in Numbers 20, where they are is Meribah in the wilderness of Zin. Same Hebrew word, Zin and Sin. Okay? It looks like after 40 years, they're right back where they started from. And here's the kicker. They were right outside the promised land. The first time they were right outside the promised land. And because of their disbelief and because of their attitude toward God, they wandered around for 40 years and guess what? Came back. Now that's the first thing I want you to see. That's the first thing I want you to see there is this is there's basically 39 years in a timeline between these two events. Okay? And they were here. So now Moses gathers them all up. The Bible says go to that rock. I believe it's showing us that we're at the same rock that we were before. Okay? And so Moses gathers the congregation. They walk up to the rock. And what does Moses do? He strikes the rock. Boom! And then he strikes it, and that's his third strike on the same rock. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Moses went up, and he struck the rock twice. Now, the first time he was there, he struck it once. Now he strikes it twice. But God said, speak to the rock. And God says, Moses, to Moses and Aaron, because you disobeyed what I told you to do, you're out. You will not get your rest in the promised land. Now, how do we tie this all in? Okay? Here's the analogy I want you to understand. In my studies of looking at it, it looks like the word used for the rock that they use for this specific rock is the same word that they used for the rock in defining whom? No. Huh? Jesus. Jesus, I am the rock. Now, look at this. Look at this between this rock thing. What was this rock representing? Nobody knows, huh? What did it represent? Well, here's what I think. The rock represented salvation. Because when you struck the rock, you got living water. Oh, wait, Jesus is called the living water, right? And Jesus is the rock of salvation, right? And so I looked at that and I said, is God already shown him the plan? And they're just too focused on their own thing to recognize it. And so I said, all right, well, if that's the case, how does that tie in? If you accept Jesus Christ, there's a requirement for you, right? The first time Moses went to the rock, what was the requirement? Strike the rock. When we come to Jesus Christ, what's the requirement? Huh? We ask for forgiveness, right? Do we have to do something for salvation? No. If you never ask for, if you never repent and ask for forgiveness, do you get salvation? See, there is a requirement for us, right? We don't think about that. It's nothing that we have earned. It's nothing we deserve. It's nothing that we do except for the fact Jesus died on the cross. He rose again so that we might have this living water that flows from him as part of the plan of salvation when we ask for it. See, God doesn't force salvation on anybody, does he? Okay, so if you take and go and take and use that analogy a little bit and tie it back in, after you have salvation, is there anything else you need to do? Huh? Serve. What else? Huh? Okay. The Numbers 20 gave you the answer there. David? Obey. What did Numbers 20 say to Aaron and Moses? God said, because you disobeyed. See, when we come to Christ, and I think this, when you look at this, they came to the rock. The second time they came to the rock, all they had to do was obey. God said, ask for the water, and it shall be given to you. We ask for forgiveness, then we just obey. We just obey. And look at this whole aspect. Why did Moses do what he did? I mean, here was a man of God, a man that did the things in that. And I'm gonna presume some things here, but here's what I'm looking at when I see what Moses did. First off, if I walk up to the rock and say, give me water, and it gives me water, what happens? I just get water. But you know, if I walk up and I strike it, people are going to know the power of God's with me. Could have been a little bit of pride and arrogance in there, maybe. Could have been a little bit of doubt saying, you know, last time God had me strike this rock and here I am again, same situation. What am I going to do? I better strike the rock. And you know what? I'm so frustrated with him. I'm going to really show him. I'm going to strike it twice. And when the water comes out, don't know I really yield that power. No. God said, just speak to the rock and the water will come forth. But Moses took it on himself to come up with a plan. We don't know exactly why, but it was Moses' plan, wasn't it? It wasn't God's plan. What God said was, speak to the rock and the water will flow. Moses said, God, I'm not sure that people really understand that. They'll think, well, it's just a spring and it was already there and yeah, they won't know it's your power. So if I use my thing, they'll know it's your power. No. God says, speak and it will happen. I think where we started with Hebrews, and it's tying it back in, I think this author in Hebrews is showing them that, look, you came to Christ. You came to Christ. There's only one thing now that's required, and that's obedience. Don't harden your hearts in disbelief. Don't go back out. You know, we were talking this morning. Does a person who really loves God get up in the morning and first thing on their mind is, what sin can I do today? Do you plan to sin? Do you plan it out? Do you write it out and say, hey, man, I haven't done this sin for a long time. I think I'm going to do it. No. No. What happens? Sin creeps in when disobedience takes place. Sin creeps in when disobedience takes place. And so Moses and Aaron went up there. Moses strikes the rock twice, says this is what's going to happen. And because of his disobedience, he didn't get rest. There is rest of more than one kind in Scripture. Part of that rest is here in our life. And we look at it and say, well, you know, God gave us rest. In the midst of turmoil, he gives us peace. In the midst of storm, he gives us calm. All these things that are part of life, God says, I will give you rest. Why? He says, let me take your burdens. Let me take your cares. Let me take your worries. Let me take your concerns, and I will give you rest. See, we have a rest here that while we're living. That's the rest that Moses lost. Moses died prior to going into the promised land. He didn't get to enjoy the rest of life. He didn't get to enjoy being able to go into this land that he worked so hard to get the people to. He didn't get to enjoy the fact that it was a land that God had prepared. And what happens is we, at times, when we disobey, don't get to enjoy the blessings of God. See, God has blessings for us. Part of our rest on this earth are blessings. You know? In the midst of the storm, have you ever got a blessing that just kind of let the storm say, woo, you know? I went on Monday, we were here for Mabel's funeral service. Beautiful service. The girls did a great job. Letting us know how they felt through life about their mom. Pastor did a great job. Reverend Jenks just he tied some things in there and told a little bit about when he lost his mom. And I talked to him later and actually referred a little bit on how the blessing of God came in the moment I lost my father shortly thereafter. But he said when he lost his mom that God spoke to him in a way that he saw that his mom was more alive than ever because she was with God. And she had the full power of God with her. And I said afterwards, I said, well, now we understand. Mabel died on Wednesday. Thursday morning. See, my days are kind of messed up. She died on Thursday morning. And the power left Butler County for 4 or 5 days. It took a lot of power for God to give her. All Butler County was shut down due to the power he gave her when she was with him. You know, I thought, you know, that kind of makes sense. Mabel was one of those women. We all loved her. She loved everybody else. But see, in the midst of all the things on Monday, and I didn't share this with Jean, but we looked at what we had down there as far as food, and we weren't sure we had enough for everybody. Because Jeannie first said that maybe there was going to be 70. And our hearts started to race a little bit. You know, what are we going to do? And I have to share this with you. Because this is the blessings of God. We were supposed to have this dinner last Sunday. Due to the power outages and everything that happened, we rescheduled. Because we still, Sunday, had half our congregation didn't have power. We had it here at the church, but we didn't have power. So we rescheduled. I sent a message out on... Dave's laughing already. I sent a message out that we were rescheduling. Dave didn't listen to my message. See, he ignores me even on messages. So he went out and bought croissants for the dinner and brought them in Sunday morning. That was good, but we didn't have a dinner. So we had 3 dozen croissants sitting there, and I told Dave, we'll just put them in the freezer for this week. Janine's boss, Mo, doesn't really know Jeannie and Rick very well, but he knows Rick as the piano man, because they had keyboards up in Sam's Club, and Rick was playing one day, and Mo knew Rick as the piano man. Now, Mo's the one, remember we were praying for Mo's son who died of leukemia a few weeks back? And Mo said, I want to do something. And he sent down meat and cheese for the funeral. So we had croissants, and now we had meat and cheese. Sandwiches. And we made up a bunch of sandwiches. See, God is providing blessings all the time that we just don't even take the time to realize. So, 6 o'clock on Monday evening, I called Dave, and I said, Dave, I said, I just got to tell you how God blessed us today. I said, we had a wonderful funeral service, just absolutely wonderful. We had a wonderful time of fellowship afterwards, and to see the family together with friends and stuff, wonderful time. We had enough food. And I said, we were really worried about that aspect of not having enough food. And I said, guess what? I said, your croissants that you got there because you didn't listen to my message, which he normally does when it comes from Crosswinds Alliance, because most often is a prayer request, right? He just didn't get to it. He got the croissants, and I said, Mo, who doesn't really know them but felt moved to do it, sent stuff. And I said, God provided all this, and it was a tremendous blessing. And I said, Dave, I just wanted to tell you because I know how much work's been a struggle for you. And I thought on the way home, I'd give you something to cheer about. And he said, Dennis, you don't realize that is really a blessing to me today. See, part of God's rest here is his blessings. And he wants to bless you. And he will bless you when you are obedient. Okay? We never can be perfect. We never will be that person that never makes a mistake, never does anything wrong, never fails God until we're with God. But see, God wants us to realize, and this is what Moses failed to realize. God's in control. And when God speaks, all we have to do is listen. Follow His word in obedience of what He says. And God will bless us. Moses lost his last great blessing because of disobedience. And the word of God that we read in Hebrews and Psalms said, don't harden your hearts in disobedience. Because if you harden your hearts in disobedience, you won't get my rest. You won't get my rest. You'll miss out on a lot of blessings that God has already lined up for you. Saying, well, hey, I think you need a great blessing this week. How about doing this for me? Oh, God, I don't have time. Well, how about doing this for me? God, I don't have time. I'm going to choose to do something different. Moses chose to do something different. I don't know exactly why he did it. To me, that was pretty stupid. But I can't say that I haven't done something just as stupid. You know? And we look back at times and we say, I don't know why I did it. God says there's only one thing. Once you've got the salvation and the living water of Jesus Christ, there's only one thing that I'm asking you to do after that. And that's just obey. Obey. Trust me and obey that I'm going to lead you in the right direction and not lead you astray. There's a lot of aspect in God's word that we sometimes miss. I looked at all this and I said, think about this. Think about, we talked about this a little bit this morning. 39 years they wandered around and they were this close. They were this close to God's blessing. And because of disobedience, they ended up wandering around for 40 years. 39 years later, they get back to their this close. All the generation that started this trip and disobeyed up front were gone. The Bible tells us that. That entire generation did not get their promised rest in the promised land. And the two people that were left were Aaron and Moses. They're this close. And because of one little disobedience, they missed out on their blessing of the promised land. Sometimes we're this close. Okay, we've come through a lot. We've struggled. We've wrestled. We've had illness. We've had financial difficulties. We've had, you know, everything going on in our life that could go wrong. But we're this close. Hang in there and obey God. Because you are so close to that blessing. You don't realize how close you are. Think about that. 40 years, they were this close to getting into that promised land. And for 40 years, they walked around in this stupid little desert. And if you, I don't think the people recognized that they got back to the original rock. Moses did. Oh, wait, I struck this before. You know? God wants to bless you. And all it requires is your obedience every step of the way. And when you fall short, you say, God, I blew that one, but I'm going to go back to obeying. I'm going to go back to obeying. That way it minimizes your loss of blessing and rest. The worst thing that can happen is when you get out of that obedience factor of God, that you continue on that path because you do not find rest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you how all your word is relevant to Jesus Christ. Everything in your word was centered around the fact that you were going to send your son to die that we might have salvation in our life. That we might be saved by grace and to be able to walk with you. Help us this morning, God, to not look at all the things going on in our life, the hecticness, the difficulties, the restlessness, and help us to just listen for your voice to speak to us that we might obey. Because through the obedience, we get rest that you promised. And you are right there with us. I ask this morning as we go downstairs to have a meal together and fellowship one with another, that you bless the food, Lord. Bless each hand that prepared it. But most of all, bless the time. Because if you look at that scripture in Hebrews and you follow up the next few verses after that, it says that we are called to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to help each other recognize God in our lives and God in their lives. So I pray that you'll be with us in this time, that we can just have a wonderful time with you and with each other. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen. You are dismissed to go downstairs.